Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
I'm going to talk to you on the supernatural effect of praise. Last Wednesday night, I preached on the supernatural power of praise, the supernatural effect of praise. You know, my two favorite subjects to preach on are faith and praise. And the reason why is the immediacy of these two subjects. There's so many things you can teach. It takes a lifetime for those to be fulfilled. And every day it's a little bit. But when you talk about faith and when you talk about praise, and if somebody gets it, it can change them immediately. I mean, right that day, something different can happen in their life that will forever change them. And that's the reason I love those subjects. The Bible places a lot of emphasis on it. I told you last week there are 250 commandments to praise the Lord. 72 times the Bible tells us to shout unto the Lord, and 258 times it tells us to be loud about it. And for those of you that don't like to be loud, 11 times it tells us to whisper. So there's a big difference. John chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him in true, in spirit and in truth. You may be seated. It can happen suddenly. It's the reason why I love to talk about praise. Somebody can just be sitting there wallowing in their problems, and suddenly that praise effect and factor goes on in their life, and something happens to them immediately. God is a sudden God. You'll think that God is not attentive, and then God moves, and suddenly things you thought was going to take weeks, months, years happen in a split second, or a moment, or an hour, or two. He's a sudden God. He's a quick God. He's an ever-present God. People like this story that I'm preaching from today about this little woman that had the amazing transformation. I think one of the reasons why they like this story is they're just fascinated that Jesus was having a conversation with a woman that had been married five times and was living with another man that was not one of the five. I think people like that because it makes them feel so good about themselves. There's somebody sitting there and said, man, I want to be married four times. I'm feeling so, and three, and two, and those of us just been married one, we can real feel very superior. That's one of the problems with human nature is we're always looking for ways to look down on people. That's what racism is, and the reason why it's so prevalent, it's just so easy. You know, if you're going to look down on somebody because they got less money, you got to find out how much money they got before you can do that. But when it's race, you can just do it visually, real quick. That's just human nature, always wanting to exalt themselves and put somebody else down. And so we're fascinated by this story of this woman because she just couldn't get it together. Just couldn't get it together. There are several things that Jesus addresses here in this discussion, and I don't have time to address very many of them, but there is one sidebar that I believe is important enough to digress to. And that is, Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, neither when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And what's so important about that is Jesus is saying there is a time coming, and I am revealing it to you, that praise and worship will no longer be defined by time or place. But praise and worship can be anytime, and it can be anywhere. This is the new norm in Christian worship, Jesus was saying. Having said that, he establishes two defining qualities of true worship. He said they must worship in spirit and in truth. When we talk about truth, truth puts worship in the confines of the Holy Scripture. When we worship God, we find it as a basis in the Word of God. And there are so many facets of praise and worship in the Scripture. So many that when you want to praise God, if you're not sure how to do it, just read the Bible. And there's so many instructions in there about praise and worship within the canon Scripture, within the written Word, that will show you how to praise God. I've seen people do things that perhaps were not within the Bible, not within the boundaries of the Word of God, but generally anything that we can do with joy and happiness and reverence to God will fall under the guidelines of scriptural mandate. That said, worship in truth. But he also said, worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is a little S there. That's not worship him in truth and the spirit of God. It's talking about the human spirit. It's talking about the human spirit. It's that excitement that we get into. It's here, the spirit that he's referring to here is beyond humanity or flesh. It's the heart. It's the emotion. It's the eternal spirit of man that's going to live forever somewhere. It's the woman going to the extreme of breaking the alabaster box. And you will find that when people worship the Lord in truth and in spirit, there are usually religious people that are going to criticize that. They're going to tell you, well, that doesn't apply to this day or time. Or if you worship the Lord in spirit, which is with emotion and with great joy, somebody's going to criticize. I don't think that's necessary in church. It's totally acceptable everywhere else. It's acceptable in football and basketball, even in golf. You got to be quiet while they're putting, but oh, when they make that putt, you can scream and holler. It's acceptable. There are always those people that want to censure you for praising God with your human spirit, with your excitement and with your joy. It's the time that David was dancing before the Lord, and he let his kingly garments fall off. That was worshiping the Lord in spirit. It's Mary breaking the alabaster box. It's the children worshiping the Lord and the people putting down their clothes for the little donkey to come in on as they worship the Lord in that triumphant entry that Jesus was making. So now once we've established that, let's get into the supernatural effect of praise and worship. What are the two greatest enemy that man has? What do you think the two greatest enemy that man has? Number one is the devil. The Bible tells us that our adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. So one of our greatest enemies is the devil. And the second greatest enemy that we have is our flesh. And we much prefer blaming things, weaknesses, faults, sins, mistakes, failures. We much prefer blaming them on the devil, because when we do that, it kind of relieves us of any responsibility. But if we are to blame it on our flesh, we have to now assume some responsibility. But let me tell you this, that praise empowers man to conquer his flesh. And the Bible tells us that flesh is not our friend, but it is our enemy. Our own flesh is our enemy. And praise empowers man to conquer his flesh. You know, when you read this story about this woman that had five husbands and was there at the well with Jesus, you know the missing character in this story, according to Christian theory, is that there is no devil present in this story. He's not mentioned. We would like to think, well, like Flip Wilson, most of you don't even remember who Flip Wilson was, but we would like to think the devil made me do it. That was Flip's funny line in those stories. He was a funny guy. But we would like to think it was the devil, but there is no mention of the evil spirit. There's no mention of the devil. There's no mention of Satan. The missing character is the devil himself. Every time we're tempted, we have a problem. We say, well, you know, the devil just really did. I like Rod Parsley said one time. He said, I'm tired of you people telling me you fell in sin. He said, you didn't fall in sin. You went out and rented a backhoe, and you dug a big hole, and then you got into it. He said, you didn't just fall. It wasn't accidentally. It was a planned event in your life. And so we like to blame the devil, but the devil's not even present in this story. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's about 99% of our problem. Friend, we have to realize that the devil is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. God is in San Antonio, and he's in Tucumcari, New Mexico, right now. Same time, two different places. The devil is not omnipresent. And so we're kind of arrogant and proud to think that the devil is spending all of our time on us, all of his time on us, when there's 7 billion more just like us. He has to really discipline his time. He has to schedule an appointment with you to attack you. You say, well, maybe it wasn't the devil, maybe it was demons. Well, there's only 1/3 as many of those as there is angels. So again, that's not a real good alibi when we've got a problem. The truth is, it's our ever-present flesh that so many times is our problem. This woman did not have a devil problem. She had a flesh problem. Jesus isolated her problem, which convinced her of his power. When Jesus said, you rightly said you don't have a husband, and the one you're living with is not, suddenly the light went on. That this is not just simply a televangelist. This is a real person of God. He knows my circumstances. It was convincing to her. What is amazing on all of this story that we're looking here is the brevity that Jesus Christ used in talking about her problem. He didn't talk about her problem very long. In fact, he uses one verse to talk about her problem, and 10 verses to talk about the solution. I'm convinced that we talk too much about our problems and not near enough about our solution. The depth of Jesus' attention was on the solution. It's amazing that a woman living in adultery, that was a serial adulterer, and Jesus only gave that one short verse. But what he wanted to talk about to her was worship. In the first place, we wouldn't even let her worship in most churches. If a woman came in and said, Pastor, if you don't mind, I'd like to be a worshiper. She said, in fact, I'm going to bring my 5 ex-husbands with me and the man I'm living with. I'm going to bring him too, if you don't mind. Say, get out of here. Go to Cornerstone. What you talking about, girl? What kind of thing you think we're running around here? It was terrible, though her lifestyle was terrible. But Jesus did not believe that embarrassing her, humiliating her, elaborating, exaggerating her problem, he didn't believe that was going to help her at all. It's amazing that Jesus did not teach a 10-point Bible study on morality. He didn't even embrace the 10 commandments. He began to talk to her about worship. That's amazing. That tells me that praise has the ability to conquer the weakness of your flesh. Whatever you realize that is in you that you don't like, that is the real root of your problem, you said, I've done everything I can to quit doing this, to stop doing this, and I haven't succeeded. Friend, you cannot overcome the strength of the flesh by willpower. What you need is his power. And the way you get his power is to worship him. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that praise and worship properly defined in your life can and will conquer the worst sin and the greatest flesh problem you have. Jesus told us the story about the man that had the devil in him. It was cast out. He was empty, swept, and garnished. But when the devil came back, he moved in with 7 of his friends. because he was empty. Religion will empty you out, but it's only the presence of God that can fill you up. And the only way that you can cause the power of God to come into you is to become a true praiser and a true worshiper, to learn what the Scripture tells us about praise. If there are that many injunctions in the Word of God that we should be praisers, it's something that we should zero in on. We ought to look at it like it's on a radar and say, I want to become a praiser. I might not be much of a preacher. I might not be much of a singer. But praise God, I can become a state-of-the-art praiser. And if I become a praiser, those weaknesses in me, those weaknesses in my flesh will be conquered by the fact that I am a worshiper. One short Bible story about the well being deep and about the strength of praise and the power of worship turned this woman from a serial adulterer to a Marilyn Hickey overnight. She became a woman evangelist in just a few moments. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that some of you suffer as a consequence of your own flesh. You can't blame anybody else. You can't blame your school teachers. You can't blame your partner. It's your problem, and you realize that. I just don't know what to do about it. I'm here to tell you what to do about it. Become a worshiper. When you are tempted of whatever it is that is destroying you and eroding you, it's time to stop and have a praise break. It's time to realize no matter how weak I am, God loves me. No matter how many times I fall, I will rise again. And so I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give God some praise. In the midst of my temptation, I'm going to exalt His name. I'm going to glorify His person. I'm going to salute His ability, because no matter what I've been and no matter how I've failed, He has never failed me yet. No matter how weak I am, He is so strong. No matter how ugly I am, He's altogether lovely. Praise God. I'm going to praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that you're having a problem. You say, I just can't quit smoking. I promise you, every time you light up, before you light up, if you'll force yourself to praise God for 2 or 3 minutes, and after you put it out, praise God for 2 or 3 minutes, after a while, I believe God will take that desire away. Somebody said, well, I got saved, but I still have the desire. And somebody else said, I got saved, and I've never had a desire to smoke again. Explain that to me, Pastor. I don't know. I don't know why he never had the desire, and you still want to smoke. I don't know that. I just know what it's doing to your lungs. I do know that God doesn't want you to destroy this body. I know this body is a temple. I don't have the answer to all those questions, but I do have this answer. If you'll praise God, it will give you the strength and power to conquer the weaknesses of your flesh. Praise God. I know a man by the name of Bill Moore. Not the Bill Moore we know in the valley, but he was over in Louisiana, and he was a terrible person. He was a terrible person. But one night he went to church, and when he got to church, they preached, and he went to that altar, but it was not a normal conversion. They had to cast out devils. They cast several devils out of this man. He was so bound by the devil. And finally, they cast those devils out. He gave his life to Jesus. He got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I developed a life of prayer. Because he said, I realized that when I get in my prayer closet and I would begin to praise, he said, those old devils that I used to have, they would come back. But he said, when they saw me praising God, he said, I could feel them fleeing from me. Friend, if he had not learned to pray and praise God, it's very possible that those same spirits would come back. And the Bible said the latter end was worse than the beginning. Friend, when you come to God, it's not just to come and give your life to Christ and sit down in some benign state, but it's to become a praiser of God. You were born to praise Him. You were born to worship Him. And if you will praise God, God will strengthen you, and you can conquer every temptation, no matter how strong, no matter how vivid, no matter how quickly and how often it comes to you, if you're a true praiser. When you feel that temptation coming on you, that's time to begin to praise His holy name. That's time to begin to say, thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for giving me power. Thank you, God, that greater that's in me than he that is trying his very best to get back inside of me. I've got the power. The Bible doesn't give us a long story about this woman, but all we know is that she went into that city. She turned it upside down. She brought a crowd to hear Jesus Christ and hear him preach because of what she learned. And she learned that no matter what her weakness was, that her ability to praise God would overpower the weakness of her flesh. And friend, I'm going to tell you that every one of us deal with weaknesses of our flesh. But instead of letting them conquer us, we can use them as catalysts. That's our signal to praise God. When the devil comes in like a flood, that's the time you begin to praise the Lord. When the devil whispers to you, that's time to shout out loud. When the devil tempts you, that's the time to say, it is written, I'm going to praise God. You can conquer your flesh by praise and worship. I am amazed at how many Christians that seemingly have no ability to praise God. Friend, when you realize what He has done for you, when you realize what the Lord has done for you, how can you not be a praiser? He brought you from so far. There are so many people just like you, minus Jesus. Did you ever think about the people that are just like you, minus Jesus, and how pitiful they are compared to you? While they are being defeated, you're an overcomer. It's because of Jesus Christ. And so when your flesh is tempted, you say, thank God, get behind me, Satan. I'm going to praise God a while. One thing the devil doesn't want to hear, and that is a redeemed person saying so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why is that so important? Not only because it exalts the Lord, it dispels the devil. It keeps that flesh from being so strong in your body. Said, I am redeemed and I'm going to say so. What does that mean? That means I'm changed. It means I'm transformed. It means I'm new. It means I'm different. I'm not what I used to be. I'm different than I thought I was. I'm stronger than I used to be. I've got more power than I used to have. I am redeemed. Look at somebody and say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The second thing, the second supernatural effect of praise, praise releases God to perform His will in our lives. You've heard me say it many times, the will of God is seldom done. It's not His will that any should perish, but many are perishing. And so the will of God for you is nothing but good. Everything that God wills for you is good. But unfortunately, God cannot overpower or will not overpower your will. The Bible said that Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And the next verse says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? The fact I'm pointing out here, that when Jesus was talking about binding and loosing, Peter was in the crowd, and he learned that lesson very well. Peter always had a question. He always had a question. He was inquisitive, but he was hungry for the things of the Lord. He learned that lesson well. We were insignificant, but praise God, something happened to us. And in 1 Peter 2:9, right, Peter writes this, you're a chosen generation. You're no longer insignificant. You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people that you should show forth the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people. Do you know what it says? Before you were saved, you were not even a people. But it said now, praise God, you are now the people of God, which have obtained mercy, but now have obtained God's mercy. Peter learned the lesson well. What was that? If you want to loose the power of God in your life, become a praiser. Show forth the praise of God. Friend, when you release the power of God in your life, anything is possible. You have to realize God is a creator. Call those things not as though they were. You do that by releasing the power of God. That's one of the things that praise does. God not only inhabits, you know, the Bible said He inhabits the praise of our people. And we just like to think, well, God comes and sits down. Well, God's not a moocher. God's not a loafer. When God sits down in your life, when God inhabits your life, my friend, that means all of His attributes are now at your disposal. You know, the Bible says, command me ye. How do you do that? By releasing the power of God in your life. And when you praise God, when you learn to worship the Lord, when you learn to submit your spirit to God and worship Him in spirit and truth, it releases the power of God in your life. There are so many things that we don't understand. The Bible tells us an amazing story in the Word of God. And there's a little verse. I used to use it all the time when I was evangelizing. I loved the verse, and I don't use it a lot anymore. But it says this. God forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which He placed among men, and delivered His strength into captivity and His glory into the enemy's hand. What's that talking about? It's talking about when Eli would not discipline his two sons, and they were committing fornication on the very steps of the house of God, that God removed His presence from Israel and could not bless them. And so Israel was desperate. And so what they did, they took the Ark of the Covenant out of its holy place in the tabernacle, and they carried it with them out into the battlefield, which was a mistake against God's commandment. And when they did that, the Philistines that they were fighting against stole it from them. And they kept it for 7 months. And so Israel was without the glory of God for 7 months. God's strength was delivered into captivity. There's a place where God wants His power to reside, and that's among people that are called by His name and people that praise Him. But sometimes the Spirit of God, the things of God, are delivered into the enemy's hand. They are opposed to what we are doing. And so it's a fascinating read and story about what happened. And so because of this power of God, this Ark of the Covenant among the Philistines, and they did not know how to handle it well, it became an encumbrance to them and became a problem to them. And of all things, most of the children are not here, most of all things, God did two things. He sent a plague of mice, much like these crickets. If there ain't somebody in here got a problem, have you? We got a cricket plague. He sent a plague of mice and a plague on the men of hemorrhoids. And there was no Preparation H invented yet. You know, I really hate that expression. You know, every time somebody says, oh, you know, God has a sense of humor, I'm not sure how big it is. But apparently he has a little bit, because of all the things he could do, he gave them hemorrhoids. And so they said, we got to get rid of this thing. And what they did, they made a golden hemorrhoid out of solid gold and put it in the ark, and a golden mouse and put it in the ark. And then they sent it back, and they sent it back behind two milk cows, not steers, but cows that had calves, and they kept the calves. Cows won't leave their calves, but these cows were directed by the Holy Spirit, and so it goes back to Israel. What's the point here? The point is that God's Spirit has to be entertained, and God wants His power to dwell in the right place to the right people. And those are people that are living for God, but people that are praising God. And David was a man after God's own heart. He has replaced who? He's replaced Saul. What happened to Saul? Saul became proud and arrogant. And I see it today. People are so talented in the world. It's just amazing how much talent these young people have got. Becky and I talk about it often. It's just amazing. Some of these kids you see on TV, what they can do and how well they can sing and how athletic they are. It's just amazing. But with that also becomes a pride. And that comes right into the church because we have such great talent in the church. And suddenly it becomes about the singer, or maybe the communicator, the preacher, or whoever. And God can't let his presence abide like that, because what he's looking for is not a Saul spirit. He said, Saul, when you were small in your own sight, I could use you, but you're too big for me now. I got to move away from you and let you go. But now there's a man named David, and David is a man after God's own heart. And it's a long story, and I won't go into a lot of it, but when David was bringing the ark back to the city of David, praise God, he got so excited about the presence of God and about what he knew the presence of God meant to Israel. The Bible said that he danced with all of his might. And the Bible said, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. There are people that just cannot stand praise and worship. Do you know why people are offended by praise and worship? It's the same reason why Michal, Saul's daughter, was. She had the spirit of her daddy, which was a spirit of pride. Praise does an amazing thing if you're truly praising God. Now, if you're up here dancing and you're trying to show your latest moves to the congregation, that's the spirit of pride. But if you're truly praising and worshiping God, it does a tremendous job at humiliating your flesh and dealing with your pride. And that's one reason why it means so much to God, because you're glorifying Him. And so, praise God, we need to realize if we want to release the presence of God in our lives, we've got to be praisers. As long as you're proud and you're arrogant, you will have to find all of your success by your own willpower and your own flesh. But if you will become a true praiser, you'll find that the Spirit of God now is released in your life. You'll be winning battles that you didn't even get to fight. You'll be having victories that you haven't even thought about. You'll be getting raises. You know, you can go to that boss's office every month and ask for a raise. Just wear him down, maybe. But praise God, it's better when the Lord just speaks to his heart. And he calls you in and says, I feel like I'm going to give you a raise. I'm going to give you a raise. We used to have a man when I first started this church, was such a blessing to me. And he worked for the city of San Antonio. And they fired everybody in his department. And as he was going out the door on that last day, he said, hey, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute, sir. And everybody else filed out, about 20 people. They were just dismissed. And said, wait just a minute. Said, oh, not you. Come into my office. He said, you're not fired. In fact, you're promoted to another department, and your pay is increased greatly. Friend, I'm going to tell you, when you get the Lord's presence released in your life, it'll fight your battles. It'll go before you. It'll make the way perfect. And so when you become a praiser, it releases God to do what he wants to do. What's God want to do? He wants to save you. He wants to fill you. He wants to liberate you. He wants to heal you. He wants to promote you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to make you an example of his love, an example of his blessing. And so there are so many things that we spend so much time that simply don't get the job done. But if we would learn to be a praiser, we would release the flow of God's Holy Spirit, and he would go before us, and he would convert people. People that think they're not going to like us would just fall in love with us. People that are trying to stop us would suddenly make the way perfect. People that wouldn't give you the time of day would suddenly give into your bosom. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord can break down those boundaries. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God is on your side, but you've got to release him. You've got to let him do what he wants to do. He wants to take you to places you've never been, see things you've never said. Say things you've never said before in your life. Be what you've never been. Be an overcomer. Be a conqueror. Be more than a conqueror. God wants to promote you, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The man that baptized me was one of the finest Christians I ever knew. And I've told you about him before. He was working a menial job in Elgin Watch Factory in Elgin, Illinois. He was just a janitor or something in there. And he was just walking by, and he heard two engineers talking about a problem they were having trying to develop a new watch. And he was a likable guy. He just stopped and listened to what they were saying. He went home that night, went to bed, had a dream, and the dream was the solution to that engineering problem. He had a high school education, very brilliant guy with a high school education, nice-looking guy, great preacher, but he only had a high school education. He went back the next morning, got those two engineers, and he said, I know the problem you're trying to solve, and here's the way you do that. With a high school education, they put him in the engineering department and paid him an engineer's salary, and he had a high school education. Oh, why? Because he was a man of God that knew how to release the Spirit of Almighty God. There's somebody in this building right now that God wants you to be promoted. He wants you to be promoted this very week. But you say, well, I'm trying the hardest. That's not it. Trying as hard as you can ain't going to get it. You got to become a praiser and release the presence of God. It will convert men's hearts. It'll change people's opinion. It will promote you above your capabilities and above your education. That's what praise does. It releases the power of God in your life. Everything I've got is because of God. God's made a way where there was not a way. God's opened a door in a blank wall. God showed me a path through the wilderness. God's answered my question. God solved my problem. God's always got a solution. Oh, friend, I'm going to be a praiser to the day I die. I praise God. Most of my praise is not in this building. Most of my praise is out at the ranch. Most of my praise is in my pickup truck or in my car. Sometimes it might be in the mall. Sometimes it is in an elevator, an office building. But I am a praiser because I am convinced that if I will praise God, the Spirit of God will be released. And that Spirit of God will set ambushments against my enemy. And it will conquer every enemy. And it will give me tremendous victory. Can you give God some praise? Praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me hurry and close. The number three thing he does, praise binds the devil. Praise binds the devil. You remember a story about the demonic of Gadara. He was demon-possessed. And the Bible gives us a great illustration and a great description of what kind of a man he was. He was a violent man. He was so violent he could not live in a neighborhood. He couldn't live in a house. He was so violent that he tore his clothes off of him. So violent that they tried to incarcerate him, but they could not hold him in any jail. So violent they tried to chain him, but the Bible said he'd break every chain. He was a violent man with supernatural demonic power. And when Jesus Christ stepped out of the boat, I'm hurrying through this, but when Jesus stepped out of that boat, the Bible does not say the man was immediately delivered, what it does say, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. There might be somebody in this building today that the devil is having tremendous power in your life. He's stealing from you. He stole your family from you. He stole your children from you. He stole good jobs from you. He stole money from you. He stole health from you. You say, I just don't know what to do. I just wish I could get closer to Jesus so I could worship him. Look at the text. And when he saw Jesus afar off, I don't care how far you think Jesus is from you. What you ought to do right now, if you realize that there is a demonic siege against you, you ought to hit your feet, lift both hands. You ought to praise God louder and longer and stronger than anybody else, because the only power there is against demonic activity and assault is the power of Almighty God. And the only way that that's going to be released to you in that circumstance and that situation, and that is that you praise Almighty God. Praise Almighty God. Praise Almighty God. You say, oh, but the devil won't let me. That's a lie. This man had a legion of devils. A legion is either 5,000 or 6,000. He has 6,000 demons in him, and 6,000 demons could not keep him from praising God. That's one thing that God reserves for himself. He said, Satan, I will not allow you the power to stop anybody from praising God. I don't care whether they're a saint or a sinner. I don't care whether they're a saint of God or a murderer. I don't care whether they're a rapist or a thief. Anybody that wants to, even when they are afar off. You might be a million miles from God, but you can begin to worship the Lord right where you are. He worshiped God before the demons left, but the demons left because he worshiped God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that I told you at the very beginning of this service that the devil cannot give you his attention all the time because he is limited. But sometimes he does attack, and if he can't attack, sometimes he sends a real demon to you. I've had them to come to me, but praise God, I've found out this one thing, that the demon has power over my flesh, that the demon has power over my mind, but the way I sanctify my mind and the way I sanctify my flesh and the way I make my flesh stronger and my heart stronger and my mind stronger is to become a praiser of Almighty God, because it does not matter how many demons are on assignment out of hell against me. When I become a worshiper and a praiser, the demons are now in submissive state. Those demons that had been so strong in that man, I mean, they couldn't control him. He'd break the chains. He'd jump on them and beat them if they came down the road. They couldn't keep him in a jail. Those demons had been so strong. But when he began to worship God and Jesus responded to that worship, what happened? Those demons became very, very subject to that power, and they asked permission from Jesus to go into the swine. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil does not have power over a praiser, but I'm going to tell you that praise will literally conquer the devil. It will literally bind the devil where he cannot move against you. He cannot steal your paycheck. He can't drag your teenagers out of your house. He can't inflict you with cancer. He can't bind you, because he is the one that is bound, because you're a praiser. You said, I got to praise God. I know some people just think it's emotion, and it is that. He said, in spirit, that's emotion. Worship him with emotion and in truth. And somebody said, well, it's just emotion, and I'm not emotional. You better get emotional. You'll get emotional if your family dies. You'll get emotional if you win the lottery. You'll get emotional if you get a big enough raise. You'll get emotional if good enough things happen. You'll get emotional if bad enough things happen. You need to get emotional in your praise and say, I don't care what anybody thinks. Praise God. I'm going to conquer my flesh. I'm going to release the power of God in my life. I'm going to bind the devil, because I'm a praiser, and you can't stop this praise. I got to praise, and I just got to get it out. I got to praise him in the morning. I got to praise him in noontime. I'm going to praise him in the evening time. I'm going to praise him when the sun's coming up. I'm going to praise him when the sun's going down. I'm going to praise him in the best times, the good times, the worst times. I'm going to praise God. I belong to him. He belongs to me. Hallelujah. I am a victor through Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shita mamako soto lo bahala la baria. One of my favorite passages in the entire Bible is the 149th Psalm, because it said the high praises will execute upon the evil, the judgment that is written. What does that mean? It means when you are a praiser, it lifts the promises right off of God's word, right out of his Bible. It said the judgments that are written, it executes. When you hear a coach and then interview him afterwards, coach, how come your team lost tonight? We just didn't execute. What does that mean? That means in the locker room, we had a plan. I wrote it out. I explained it to them. We practiced it all. We did not execute it. There's a whole lot of Christians that are not executing the plan. Because you can't execute the plan unless you get high praises. When you get high praises, it executes the judgment that is written. It takes that word of God and puts it right on the devil's head. It puts it right on those demons' head. They cannot accomplish their purpose that comes against you, because suddenly the Bible said it binds the evil with fetters. It literally wraps them up. That same demon that's been trying to bind you, all of a sudden you're free because the Spirit of the Lord is there. But now that being demon is now bound, and he is at your mercy. He's at your disposal because you're a praiser. It's tough. It's tough when you get bad news to be a praiser. But friend, I promise you, if you learn to be a praiser when you get bad news, you'll knock a home run. I promise you, if you learn to praise when you get a bad report, something good will turn it around. If you'll praise God when the doctor comes to you and said, I'm sorry to tell you this, that same doctor will say, I was wrong. A week later, I misdiagnosed you. He didn't misdiagnose you. You're a praiser, and thank God you can reverse the curse. You can turn the report around. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know what it means to praise God? This is a rehearsal hall. That's all this is. This is a Holy Ghost locker room. I'm giving you the plan. If you don't praise God here, I'll guarantee you won't praise God in your apartment. But if you learn to praise God here, if you learn to praise God when you got a praiser on your right and a praiser on your left, when the devil comes in like a flood and you're all by yourself, you won't be afraid. You'll throw up your hands and say, Shamamakasotoi, in the name of Jesus Christ. And suddenly that flood will be diminished, and that standard will stand up, and what the devil means for evil will be turned to good. That sickness will be turned into a testimony. That poverty will be turned into prosperity. Hallelujah. Are there any praisers in this house? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we got to be praisers and not sing-alongs. This ain't just sing-along with the worshipers. It's I'm going to praise God by myself. I'm going to praise God by myself. I don't care how many people's here. I don't care how many people's on my row. I don't care what song they're singing. I'm a praiser. I'm a praiser. I'm a praiser. I am going to subdue my flesh. I'm going to release my God, and I'm going to bind the devil by simply praising God, no matter what's happening in my life, in the name of Jesus. You know who ought to be the greatest praiser in this building tonight? The ones under the greatest attack. The person that's under the greatest attack ought to be the loudest praiser here. The person under the greatest attack most ought to be the most joyful praiser here. The person that is being attacked by the devil with sickness or disease or poverty or strife, you ought to be out praising everybody. Because promise you, friend, if you become the number one praiser in this house, you're going to get something in your life that is going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Grace is amazing, but miracles are amazing too. Miracle is amazing, miracles, and God's got a miracle for a praiser in this house. You get a praise in your mouth tonight. You get a praise on your hands tonight. You get a praise on you tonight. You get a praise on you tonight, praise God. You're going to get a miracle. You'll have a report by next Sunday. You'll have a testimony by next Sunday. This is what the devil did. This is what I did, and this is what God did. That's always the pattern. This is what the devil did. This is what I did. And this is what God did. And so when you say, this is what the devil did, and I didn't do nothing, they ain't going to be do. And now this is what God did. You got to do something. You got to do something. 250 times he said, praise me, praise me, praise me. 258 times he said, praise me. 250 times he said, make it loud, make it loud, make it loud. Shout, 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 shout. Shout, shout, worship, dance, clap, praise, joy, draw water, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. If you're in this building right now and you've got a problem with your flesh, or if God's not showing up on time, or if the demon's attacking you,